Blog Talk Radio.
Back at it again. It's another edition of the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Show. I am your host, Rick Saratella, for a March 27th, 2015 edition here as we count you down. The 2015 NFL Draft is upon us. 35 days away and counting, everybody. And you know what we do here. We bring you the names you need to know first since 2002. And today we have a special guest lined up for you, somebody from around our neck of the woods here at the NFL Draft Bible headquarters. And he is Southern Connecticut State defensive tackle Carlief Taylor, joining us on the MyFantasyLeague.com hotline. How you doing today, Carlief?
I'm good, brother, man. First and foremost, I just want to thank you guys and everything that you got going on. I appreciate this opportunity. How you doing?
Doing very good. Appreciate you joining us here. And first off, my man, I didn't know you were at the Rutgers Pro Day. I did not get the heads up, the hat tip there. I'm going to have to yell at your agents for that. But I saw that you did have a very strong Pro Day. And first off, how did you wind up at the Rutgers Pro Day? I'm sure you had to pull some strings to do that. And second of all, were you happy with your results?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was a blessing to be there. I also want to thank the whole Rutgers University football and Coach Cal Fluff for giving me the opportunity, because that put me in the best position I possibly have coming from a smaller school. But basically, in my agency, there's also financial advisors, and one of them being Mike Tisch. He brought a friend, and I was during the meeting while I was in Florida training at TAP. He brought a friend who happened to be best friends with Coach Cal Flood. And so he's also his financial advisor. So during the time, he said he was going to have a dinner with Coach Cal Flood. He was going to bring a bio of me and also see if he could get me in. And between that and a little bit of work from my agent, Ray Brunell, and JR, I was able to get in.
Man, that was definitely a blessing, and the stars are possibly aligned for Carlief Taylor here, Southern Connecticut State, joining us on the Draft Bible Player Spotlight Show. All 32 NFL teams in attendance at that Rutgers Pro Day. So did you hear any good feedback, any positive vibes? What did you take away from the Rutgers Pro Day?
I mean, it was a big experience. Actually, it was I was really calm, really confident. It kind of felt like, and it sounds weird, it's hard to explain, but it was almost like practice. Like when I got there, like of course I was nervous being like an out of school guy, but like this is what I trained for. This is what I've been doing my whole life, and this is just something that what I really wanted. So when I hit that dome, it was no thinking. It was everything was just, I didn't have to go through the motions. I wasn't thinking about proper technique. Everything was just in sync with each other. But yeah, with all 32 teams there, I mean, wow, like I finally got to showcase myself in front of everybody. So even if I was never thought about, like I'm somewhat in a little bit of every team mind. But yeah, I did get some good feedback. A scout from the Giants and Jets called me for some workouts. And I know Giants is April 9th. I didn't get the Jets date yet. And my agent did speak to the Eagle scout after as well.
All right, very good. So, you know, based on the NFL Pro Day workout, now you have to wait and see for the next 5 weeks or so. But you talked about the confidence heading into your Pro Day and just the ability to go out there and let it rip and let everything come naturally. And that's what you want to do out at your Pro Day. You don't want to have to think about anything, because all the work and preparation should have gone into the weeks and the months leading up to the Pro Day. So tell me, you know, what did you do leading up to your Pro Day workout? What was your draft preparation like? Where were you training out? How often were you training out? Take us through your, you know, prototypical workout regimen, Carlief.
All right, no problem. I mean, my agent, Ray, he really recommended, because at this time, like before signing with Ray, I kind of had some offers. Like I might want to train with DeFranco or Velocity Sports, but my agent, Ray, he was really big on this guy named Derek Touchette, and he's from Naples, Florida. And he was like, TAP is the place for you, TAP. Like, he's that guy. And so I went on the website, and, like, the dudes he trained were, like, all dudes, like, that I look up to, especially in my position, like Phil Taylor from the Browns, Brandon Meebane from the Seahawks. And it was just, like, it almost was like destiny for me. So when I got there, it wasn't that many of us. I got to train with Robert Chris from NC State, Thomas Till from NC State, Todd Smith from Townsend, Nigel King from Kansas, and Joe Kalita from Coastal Carolina, and Ernest Thomas from Illinois, the safety from Illinois. And we basically, from Monday through Saturday, it was the work regimen. Sunday was the rest day, but we usually start in the morning, like around 9 o'clock. Each session was 2.5 hours long, so in the morning we'll do some rolling out, some stretching, and some skill work, whether it was a 3-cone, shuttle, 40, really working on the mechanics and everything, because first you have to get down, you have to make it into muscle memory. I mean, especially running a 40, you have to train yourself outside of a football aspect into a track person aspect. So it was a lot of things I learned, just like the proper way of running, like keeping the toes up. Like everything that I was told was new to me, so he took a lot of time into that. And then we'll have a break, and then the second session will be lifting, whether it was upper body, lower body, stretching, hip mobility. So it was just a real tough regimen Monday through Saturday, to the point where it's like all I did was eat, train, and sleep. By the time we got back, I was just crawling into the shower and crawling into the bed.
Back-to-back all-conference selection, Carlise Taylor, Southern Connecticut University, on MyFantasyLeague.com hotline. And we mentioned that Rutgers today, 5-2-1 in the 47-8-0, 3-cone, 29 bench press rep, 7-10 in the broad, 23-inch vertical, and all 32 NFL teams in attendance. We have you coming in at 6'1", 314. Is that an accurate height and weight for you?
That's very accurate. As accurate as it ever gets. I mean, they got the digital scale and the measurements is to a T, so I would say that's very accurate.
Now, I mean, knowing that you're a guy that came into freshman year of college at 340 pounds, is that the playing weight now that you want to stay at, that you feel comfortable with? Talk a little bit about just the weight fluctuation and where you're at now and where you see yourself playing at.
That's a very good question, brother. I mean, honestly, it's kind of like I kind of consider it like a handicap or a cheat being at this weight, because I could still fit close from the eighth grade. I've been a big dude my whole life, and actually each year from, like, because I only played 1 year high school, each year from my senior high school till now, I was losing weight or either getting leaner and losing more fat, because honestly, I came into camp for college at 356, so, and I've always been, like, quick on my feet, so anytime I lost weight, it was kind of just, like, a boost of my abilities, because I was able to move that well at that size, so being stronger and smaller just was an extra peak, so every year I was able to peak, and it shows, like, with the stats and everything, so I feel like 315 is a comfortable weight for me, depending on my position. Like, if I have to play nose, maybe 320, but all of that is very, like, close within each other. But anywhere from 310 to 320 is usually my comfort zone. But, I mean, playing at all these weights really don't – it doesn't bother me as much, just because I've been there before, and now I have better coaching and better experience and better technique. So it wouldn't bother me at all, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talked about playing some nose. I know they used you at various different spots on the field, up and down the defensive line. I mean, you're a versatile guy. Is there a preference? Do you have a preference playing nose, or are you open to the next level? Where do you feel most comfortable? What position?
I mean, being that we played nose this year and I was very successful at it, I would say nose is definitely my sweet spot. It's definitely my sweet spot. When I say sweet spot, I mean, like, that's my bread and butter, just because I'm very physical and very dominating, and I'm used to holding on blocks and shedding off blocks just from pure, like, strength and just being physical, that nose is ideal, a better situation for me. But, I mean, with the coaching from the next level that you get, I feel like I could play D-tackle and also be successful at that as well. But as of now, I would say nose.
Yeah, and, you know, a rare quality in your game is just the, you know, as you said, engaging and shedding of blockers and being able to make tackles. 73 tackles is an unusual number from the nose tackle position. I mean, it's credit to your ability, but, I mean, taking on double teams and then also, you know, 8 tackles for a loss, so you're also, you know, being a disruptor in the backfield. Talk to me a little bit about your game and just how you deal with double teams. Are you a guy that likes to take them on and kind of just bully your way through them? I know some guys like to try to the defenders? Other guys use their hand technique? I mean, what kind of moves are you using when you take on a double team coverage and then, you know, shed blocks like that? What's some of the techniques that you go to?
Well, for this, because we ran the 3-4 defense 2 years, my freshman year and my senior year. For this, my senior year 3-4 defense was a little different. It was an Okey defense, and my defensive coordinator, which is John Schoen, he does internships with the Eagles every summer. So he took the exact replica defense from the Eagles to basically put it on us on a college level, which was really risky because as a college level defense, it's hard to imply certain things and get certain things out college players, being that you have people 18 and you have people all the way up to 23, 22. So basically my job was my hands attack the center before my feet do, and it's kind of like I mirror him until I see the runner shed, go to a different way, then I shed, or until I see the recognize that it's passed. So a lot of my movement is actually a reaction to somebody, to the offensive lineman movement. So it wasn't like strict. So it wasn't a kind of like just a straight bully kind of thing. It was more so a reflective defense because each D lineman had two gaps. So I couldn't choose a gap. Each lineman had a two gap scheme, so the linebackers could be free. So I would say when it comes to scheme, like I'm definitely a guy that's going to demand a double team just so the linebacker could be free. And it's really not. I know I have 73 tackles, but it's really not about the stats for me. I mean, like, I would implore people just to watch the film. I'm more so of a team player. Anything we could do to win is worthwhile for me. I'd rather a championship ring than an MVP any day. So I'm just a big team player. So I would assume that I would prefer just demand a double team straight down.
All right, Carleaf Taylor, Southern Connecticut State, here on the NFL Draft Bible Player Spotlight Show. Definitely all about the team, me first mentality. NFL teams are going to appreciate that, but we're going to appreciate you, Carleaf, talking a little bit about yourself because we want to get to know your game, and NFL teams do as well. So I know we talked about some of your strengths already, but, you know, if an NFL team were to ask you, you know, what do you consider to be your biggest strength? What's your greatest attribute in your opinion?
My greatest attribute, and this is probably something you guys don't hear a lot, but because it's an intangible thing. But I would say my mental toughness. It's something you can't go to the combine and measure, or something you can't test for. But when it comes to being mentally tough, I feel I just take everything like I'm really self motivated. A lot of things I do. And it's not saying that I don't appreciate where I'm at. It's just that I would say, like, I'm hard to satisfy for myself. So, like, the things I do, I always try to, like, I aim for perfection in almost everything I do. And I believe perfection can be obtained, whether it's for a fraction of a time or whether it's for a whole play. But I do believe in perfection. So I would definitely say my mental toughness when it comes to being down and out on the play or having a bad play, or to continue thriving, or to continue fighting, or just to continue to be the best you that you can be. I would definitely say I have a strong will when it comes to playing sports or just anything in life.
Well, I like that answer. And, you know, the more and more I study the NFL draft, the more and more I learn that making the transition to the next level is more mental than anything else. The physical aspect, I mean, you guys are all athletes. You guys have all been playing for the most part of your life, and you're a little bit of an interesting story, and we'll get to that too. But I do see that you played high school ball in the Bronx, New York, so I would think that also has to do with a little bit of mental toughness. You know, I'm from Jersey, you're from New York. I think we're definitely, you know, cut from a different cloth from the rest of the country,
you know,
to get that mental toughness
going.
So, you already know. So, all right, so let's keep it moving, though. We talked about some of your strengths. How about some of the things that you wanted to get better at coming into your senior season? You were entering your final year of collegiate football. What did you do when you sat down and evaluated yourself coming into the final year and looked in the mirror? You said, I have to get better at what?
I would definitely say leverage. I believe I have a good first step, but I mean, at the end of the day, leverage wins the battle, and if not, it makes it easier for you. And me being at my height should give me a better chance of staying lower than the average opponent, who's like the guard, the typical guard is 6'3", 6'4", 6'5". Me being 6'1", and some chain 6'2", automatically gives me a better advantage with leverage. But I also know that the lower man wins. So nine times out of ten, when I practice, I really practice extremely dramatically lower than how I play.
Yeah, especially there in the trenches. Okay, now we spoke about a little bit just the playing experience. Now, I said most guys have been playing their whole life. Now, you're one of the rare exceptions, and every now and then we get a guy that, you know, discovers themselves in high school. From my understanding, you only played 1 year of high school football at that level, and then, you know, got into it from there. So take me a little bit through how that happened, how you got involved in football, and why the late bloomer.
Oh, for sure. I mean, coming into high school, I was more so, believe it or not, I was a dancer. I had a little dance team, so that's kind of why
Fancy footwork.
Yeah, that's why you kind of see the footwork. The footwork always been there through dancing and stuff, so I kind of was just a real social guy in that aspect. But I also took pride in myself. So, like, I might be in the gym after school every now and then, just making sure that even though I'm big, I'm going to be at least decent looking. So I will also take care of myself. So I'll be in the gym working out every now and then. And the coach at the time, CJ O'Neill, which I owe everything, because, like, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even be talking to you guys right now in hindsight. But he found me, and he was like, man, you should kind of try out for the football team. And I was like, really? And I was like, okay, I thought about it. And then I did a couple days there, and he spoke to my mother, and my mother and him talked, and he was saying, well, I feel like your son has the ability to play at a college level. And me coming from a Bronx school, I mean, a small school in New York, you don't think about football in New York, you think about basketball. I really didn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't see my potential. I couldn't picture this being bigger than what it was. So I kind of was like hearing them, but I thought that was really just fluff talk to my mother so I could play. So basically, I rode out with them, went to an all-star game, got a lot of offers. Man, here's another crazy story. I mean, I took the SATs three times. They lost my scores. So the third time I took it, I kind of was like didn't give it my full effort, and then the grades came mm-hmm. back. So a lot of schools that was offering me at the time was offering like prep or JUCOs. And being that I didn't know anything about football at the time, or didn't have like, because my father deceased at the age 7, so I didn't have like an influence in my shoulder, letting me kind of like guiding me through the ropes. I kind of was like deterred away from those offers due to the fact that I always had like a 94, 92 average in high school. So I always knew that when it came to scholarship or being successful, like, I didn't need, like, sports at that time. So, basically, I kind of was like, no thanks. And then Southern and CW Post found me, and luckily my grades, my SAT scores were enough to get into those schools. So I kind of wanted to make it easier for my mom and kind of wanted to see what football was about on the next level. So I accepted Southern as my school.
Okay. And then I know during the collegiate career, now you had suffered an injury during your sophomore year. I mean, how hard was it to have to be forced to watch from the sidelines, and what did you take away from that experience during your sophomore season?
Man, let me tell you this, man. I'm going to tell you this and be so serious. That, and it sounds weird, that was the best thing that happened to me. It gave me, because I mean, as an athlete, and I'm going to just be honest, like, you're not going to hear this from most athletes or just people in general, your ego and your pride and your visions and stuff, it kind of alters you as a regular person. You get what I'm saying? So it kind of makes you think of yourself higher than what you are. So at the time, like, after finishing my freshman year, we went 7-3, missed the playoffs by one game, and I contributed enough. I'm thinking, yeah, so we're going to go to the championship next year, and I'm going to try to get this, and I'm going to try to get that. And when I got hurt, it made me realize that nothing, like, tomorrow isn't promised and this game isn't forever. And it really made me appreciate everything that was going on in my life and just being in that opportunity. So it really, I grinded, and I never worked as hard as my life. I'm just to the point where I was working out. I had to stop myself. Sometimes I was working out from midnight to 3 in the morning. Sometimes I would see the sunrise while people were out partying. This is like Saturdays and Fridays, and it was, I was just doing a lot because I appreciated that, and I realized that this wasn't forever. And after that year, the next year I got an All American Honor Award. So it really, and then that didn't satisfy me as well because I wanted more than that. So it really, it gave me that extra kick, and it humbled me enough to get to where I am today. So it kind of was a blessing in disguise.
All right, very good. One last one for you before we let you go. We're unfortunately running out of time, and we're talking to Carleef Taylor, Southern Connecticut State University defensive tackle. If you're just tuning in now, the full interview will be available on the NFLDraftBible.com website. And, you know, there's actually a couple more questions I want to get in, but due to time constraints, I did want to ask you about the National Bowl game, because that was another platform, another stage, so to speak, for you to perform in front of pro scouts. And I know that's a newer bowl game, and I haven't had a chance to actually go there in person and check it out. So just wanted to hear from you how it was for you personally, the experience that you had down there, what type of coaching you received, and if you felt like it was beneficial from you in the overall path to the draft, so to speak.
Definitely. It was a good experience because I got the – I'm really big on challenging and competing. Like, I don't think there's a person out there that loves to compete more than me. And I compete with myself daily. I compete with my shadow. That's how much I like to compete. But I was able to be around some of the best talents from the Division II, Division III football at that time. So it really was motivating me to see how I – match up against these people. So it was really fun. It was it was long, but I enjoyed it, and it kind of gave me I would say a taste of what I can be expecting on the next level. So I enjoyed it thoroughly, and I got to play and have fun. We won, and it was just a good experience, and I got to meet a lot of people that I'm still in contact with today. And coaching scheme wise, I mean, man, these dudes told me things that if I'd have learned 3 or 4 years ago, man, whew, I wouldn't even know. But coaching definitely was a big plus there, and I learned a lot of techniques that I want to carry on to the future.
Well, the best is yet to come, my man, and I definitely appreciate you joining us here on this Friday morning, and we're about 5 weeks away from the NFL draft. Any final words, last thoughts, shout-outs that you want to give before we let you go?
Yeah, I want to shout out my whole agency team, JR Ricker, Ray Barnell, Mike Tisch. I also want to shout out Derek Duchette Training. I also want to praise to everybody who has their pro days or upcoming pro days. Best of luck to everybody who's doing the draft. I want to thank you, the whole NFL Draft Bible. God bless. God bless you all. Thank you for the opportunity, man. I really appreciate it. It just won't be the last for me. I promise you that.
All right, well, do us a favor then, you know, when we find out where you're going to be playing on Sundays, do us a favor, check back in with us, and come back on the show.
That's a promise. That's a bet. We'll do that.
All right. Appreciate that. There you have it. Carleef Taylor, Southern Connecticut State University, and we have it on tape, my friends. He's coming back for the repeat performance after we find out what team he'll be playing for on Sundays. And after that Rutgers Pro Day, he is heavily on the NFL radar, all 32 NFL teams in attendance. And talk about the stars aligning. And just like he said, it almost seems like destiny to be able to get into that Rutgers Pro Day. And I'll give a shout-out to Kyle Flood. I know he thanked the whole Rutgers staff as well. You know, they actually had 9 players work out that weren't from the Rutgers University. And I thought that was a very first-class act thing to do by Kyle Flood and the Rutgers University. They didn't have to do that. And to be able to provide that platform for these players definitely opens up some doors for, you know, the future of their lives. So great move by Kyle Flood. That was Carleef Taylor, Southern Connecticut State. Great way to kick off the draft morning today, just 35 days away from the 2015 NFL draft. And as we mentioned, the two-time all-conference selection tackling machine from the interior, 11 tackles for a loss this past year, 73 total tackles. You know, the year before he had double-digit tackles for a loss. He's just a disruptor in the backfield, and the best is yet to come. I mean, he's a late bloomer. He just started playing football just 5-6 years ago, 1 year of high school football playing experience. So the potential and upside is going to also be appealing to NFL teams at the next level. And listen, everybody needs a nose tackle. You heard him say that's his most comfortable position. 300-pound nose tackles don't grow on trees. So that's why we had Carleef Taylor on the show, bringing you the names you need to know first, so that way when he is playing for your favorite team at the next level, you can tell everybody where you heard the exclusive right here at NFL Draft Bible. Check us out on Twitter. Our handle's also at NFL Draft Bible. We've got a lot of good pro day videos up on the website as well. You might catch Carleef in action there. We were on location. So for another edition, I was your host, Rick Saratella. We're actually coming right back up with another interview at 11 o'clock. We're going to have another guest joining us. I don't have my list in front of me, but I guarantee you it'll be another name you need to know. Until the next time, everybody.